We're in the middle of our sermon series on the Beatitudes, and we're looking at the third Beatitude today. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What strikes me about the Beatitudes is most of them are not any things we desire to be. I don't often sit around hoping to mourn or to be poor in spirit or even to look for opportunities to be merciful. Usually, if I'm given opportunities to be merciful, that means someone's wronged me, and I would rather have the freedom to be justifiably angry. Or if there's opportunities to mourn, it usually means that there's a loss associated with it. Most of the Beatitudes are things that we often feel are hopeless situations. But again, this is part of Jesus' upside-down kingdom. We're seeing how following Jesus is different than mainstream culture. That Jesus brings hope to the hopeless. And Jesus calls us to be meek, which is very countercultural. In our Western culture, the idea that the meek will inherit the earth is outrageous. We live in a might is right world. The strong survive, survival of the fittest. See what you want and take it. Carpe diem, seize the day. I had to look up again Robin Williams' clip in Dead Poets Society, right? Where carpe diem, I mean, gather ye rosebuds while ye may. The idea that we'll soon be worm food, so take hold of your destiny already. This is exactly opposite from the beatitude of the meek inheriting the earth. So one of the first questions I had to ask was, what is the definition of meek? Because I tend to think of it as mouse-like or weak or a doormat. Webster's dictionary says that meek is quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon, submissive. And yet Scripture describes two people in the Bible as being meek. Moses, who we just covered in our last sermon series, and Jesus. I don't often think of them as quiet, gentle, and easily imposed upon or submissive. Numbers 12:3 says about Moses, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." Other translations use the word humble for meek, but the root word pros or praus, my Greek is not very good, can be described as the gentleness that comes from humility. So often meek and humility are used interchangeably throughout the translations. In Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." So clearly, Webster's definition and our scriptural definition of meek are not similar. This beatitude harkens back to Psalm 37, and I'm going to read that with us this morning because it expounds on this beatitude. So read along with me either up here or in your Bibles. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in God, and God will act. God will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for the Lord. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The psalmist, David, reminds us to trust in the Lord and do good, so we will live in the land and enjoy security. This is very contrary to seize the day. And I'm a seize the day kind of girl. It is trusting that God is our caretaker, that God has our best interests at heart. It reminds us of Zechariah 4:6, where God says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit." It is God who brings about justice. In Psalm 37, we're instructed to commit our way to God. We're to trust God first, believing that God will truly be our sustainer. God loves us and cares for us and wants the very best for us. The meek are quiet before God and wait for God. We're called to live in a steady calm, not frenzied, not panicky, not anxious, and not fretting over the wicked. Again, it's God who brings about justice. Verse 11 in Psalm 37 echoes the beatitude, "The meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity." Now, Nelson's Illustrated Bible Dictionary defines meekness as an attitude of humility toward God and gentleness toward people, springing from a recognition that God is in control. It is strength and courage under control, coupled with kindness. It's a little different definition. Now, when I pull myself out of academic land, you know, I kind of just exegeted the passage. But when I pull myself out of there and think about what does this look like in my day-to-day life, in my moment by moment, that is when I have to confess that I don't like this at all. I don't like what I'm saying up here. I don't like what I'm preaching to myself. As a woman, the idea of meekness is very grating on me. And I'm in a field that is dominated by men, and where half of my colleagues, now not my colleagues here at North Valley, but in the greater church realm, capital C, I have denominations that believe I'm an abomination to God and to the cloth. So the idea of meekness really stretches me. I went to seminary with that baggage and took a lot of classes on leadership, which were some of my favorite. And I've done all this reading about the glass ceiling, right? To break on through, how to take up space, how to assert your authority, how to make sure my voice is heard and counted and I'm at the table. Done a lot of work. I've done a lot of reading and a lot of internal work about how to be a woman pastor without getting trampled on. And then there comes this sermon that I'm supposed to preach on the meek inheriting the earth. I'm glad you're laughing because I think God is too. Because when we set up the sermon schedule, it's not like, you know, I didn't really notice what it was or what I was going to be preaching on until I really started delving in going, "Oh, that is cute, God, really cute." But then this is where I sense hope for you and for me, because the biblical understanding of meekness is power under control, not weakness, not a doormat. Meekness is a refusal to inflate our own self-estimation and reticence to assert ourselves for ourselves. And this is where I want to be like this. It is exercising power for the benefit of others. Meek people see themselves as servants of God, not thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think. To be meek is to accept our strengths and limitations for what they truly are, instead of constantly trying to portray ourselves in the best possible light. But it doesn't mean we should deny our strengths and our abilities. It means we get to know ourselves and use it for others. The meek engage others in decision making and experience better results and deeper relationships, I believe. Often, someone with the gift of meekness does not act independently. Rather, if they sense that they need to do something, like a decision or take a stand in some way, they often check that leading out with others. Sounds very Quaker, doesn't it? Using good discernment and listening to the advice and direction of others, and what they're doing is yielding themselves to others. Being open to that of God and the others so that the kingdom can be brought about on earth. Another idea of looking at the idea of meekness is to consider another definition of gentle or gentling. I found this week and I was really struck with it. In the Companions in Christ curriculum by Upper Room, they have a study on Beatitudes, and it says that having true meekness bears no resemblance to being a cringing doormat. Meekness is rather the subversive power of loving our enemies, the potential to transform others by the clarity of our own transformed attitudes and actions. Again, being honest with ourselves about who we are and whose we are, and allowing God to transform that. Meekness is the strong gentleness of power under control, the control of God's spirit. And it goes on for this idea of gentling. When a horse allows itself to be saddled, ridden, and directed by a rider, we say it is gentled. To gentle a horse, now I'm not a horse person, Bev, I'm sure you could give this part much better, but this is what I learned in my reading. To gentle a horse implies a relationship in which the horse's power comes under human control. Now, the horse's power is not taken away or diminished. That horse is still strong and powerful. But it can become as gentle as a horse that allows a two-year-old to ride it in perfect safety, even while the horse's strength and speed still exist. All of us have powers and skills, intelligence, energy, emotions, speech. The great question of human life and meaning has to do with how we use our powers and for what purpose. Are we being gentled by God so that our powers are at the disposal of divine purpose? And this is where it makes sense to me that Scripture defines Moses and Jesus as being meek. And I want to be like that. Moses and Jesus both submitted their own purposes, their own agendas, fears, needs, and wants to God's purpose. The humble and gentle, the meek, know who they are and whose they are. And that's why I'm suspicious that I think it says the meek will inherit the earth, because they can be trusted with the earth and they've demonstrated that they can handle power, and so they will have the abundance of the earth. To those that can be trusted with much, much is given. To those that are trusted with little, little is given. So we're going to go into waiting worship, or open worship, or centering worship, whichever term you like to use. And I have some queries to center your time. Feel free to use them, or feel free to dismiss them. Sometimes God is already working in our heart and soul, and we know what we need to wait on. But if you do sense that there's a message laid on your heart for the rest of us, please stand and a microphone will be brought to you so that we can all hear you.